You would remain standing for the scripture reading and turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, the last portion of it, 45 to 51. And then following the reading of scripture, we'll sing the Gloria Patri, which is printed in your bulletin. So Matthew 24, 45 to the end of the chapter. Hear now God's holy word. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time. And he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and in an hour he is not aware of, and he will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And God will add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Amen. And Jesus has moved on from warning the people of his generation of the destruction and the judgment that was going to come on Jerusalem and on the temple, and preparing for that. He wanted to warn the people again of his day because he wanted them to escape the calamity that was going to come upon Jerusalem. But he's moved from that warning of that judgment to now be turning to warning us of the judgment that is to come, the judgment that will come when he returns the second time. So he's helping us to understand how do we live in the in-between time between that early judgment and when he comes back again. In John 12, 47 and 48, Jesus said, I did not come into the world to judge the world, but that the world through me might be saved. So the main purpose of Jesus' first coming was to bring salvation, not that there wasn't some judgmental elements in it, but his first coming was to bring salvation into the world, and then his second coming will be when he comes to pour out the final judgment upon all the wicked. And the main thought he has in mind in this whole section, if we back up to verse 42, is therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. In verse 44, so you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. The judgment on Jerusalem was going to be very clearly known so his people could escape. But the return of Christ at the end of time, we won't know. All those who predict signs of the coming of the end of the age, of the end of the world, are all wrong. We won't know of that. So Jesus is now illustrating the uncertainty of that and the need that we have to be prepared for that in four parables. The first is the parable of the thief, which we looked at last time. If the owner of the house knew when the thief was going to come, well, he would be prepared and he would keep his house from being robbed. Well, and then he'll follow that with the one we're looking at today, the wise and the foolish serpent. Then there will be the parable of the 10 virgins, then the parable of the talents, and then it will all conclude with his explanation of the separation of the sheep and the goats. So the theme is for you and I to be alert, to be watching, to be ready. That's our calling. And so he gives us this parable of the wise and the foolish servant. Now, the word servant is actually slave, the very common biblical word for slave. It is a little more than an employer and employee kind of a relationship, but we get some very important things on how are we to conduct ourselves in the in-between time. How are we to conduct our lives now before the Lord? And we see in each of these two servants, their character, their conduct, and then they're either their reward or their punishment. Very important things for us to note. So we have, first of all, the wise serpent. Who then is the faithful and wise servant? This servant is an illustration of what it means to be ready, what it means to be prepared for the coming of the Lord. His character is described in two ways. He's described as a faithful servant. Now, you might think that's a strange thing to say regarding a slave. I mean, obviously, he has to do what he has to do. But Jesus is communicating something about the nature and character of this person. He's faithful. You can kind of interpret that or think that through in a couple different ways. He's full of faith in his master and in his Lord. He believes his words. He trusts in his truth. There's a relationship between this servant and the master. And he's faithful. Not only does he have faith in the master, but he's faithful and obedient in carrying out the tasks that the master has given to him. And this is to characterize us in this in-between time. Faith in our master and our Lord, knowing him, and then carrying out the things he's told us to do. And the second element of his character is that he's wise. He uses his opportunities, he uses his responsibilities in a wise and careful and godly way. Psalm 111, verse 10, among other passages of Scripture, tells us, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and all who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise." The wise person is a person who fears God, who has a relationship with God. And because out of that relationship with God, he follows his precepts. He has good understanding. It's the fool that says in his heart, there is no God. It's a fool that says he doesn't know or doesn't trust God. But this first servant, this first person is faithful and he's wise. That's the character of this man. And then living out the character, his character as someone who's faithful and as someone who's wise, then how does he conduct himself in his work? Well, he is put in charge of the servants in his household, so he's given this charge, this responsibility that he carries out faithfully and with wisdom, and he gives them these under servants, the people under him, part of his responsibility, he gives them their food at the proper time. So he's responsible. He's careful. He has a charge that he's been giving, and he's very caring in the way that he carries it out. He doesn't belittle the people under him. He doesn't misuse them. He takes care of them. He provides what they need to accomplish their particular tasks. So the character of this man as one who is faithful and wise lives out in the way he conducts himself in carrying out in a very careful way his responsibility, his charge that the master has given to him. And then what happens is the master returns in a time when he didn't know it. And the master finds him doing what he was asked to do. And so it says it'll be good for that servant that his master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he'll put him in charge of all his possessions. The faithful servant, the wise servant, is also the blessed servant. And because he has his relationship with the master, in his trust in the master. He knew the master. The master had said, I will be back. And he knew the master was a faithful man, and he was true, and that he would return. And so he wanted to be ready for his return. And so he faithfully and wisely carried on his work. That's what it means to be ready, to love the master, to trust the master, and to be following his charge when he comes. And you see a lot of parallel between this particular servant and the parable of the talents, which will come up in the near future, how that from the foolish person in the parable of the talents, what was his was taken and given to the wise one who had taken care of the master's responsibilities. So we have this example, this reminder of this is what it means to be ready, to be watchful, to be alert. Well, then in contrast to that, we have the foolish servant. It begins in verse 48, but suppose that servant is wicked. Now, it's interesting the way Jesus introduces it, because he says, what if there was this wise and faithful servant? But what if that man was instead a wicked servant? It's sort of an implied warning and reminder to you and I that we have before us the path of life and the path of death. And the temptation that comes before all of us in our life is, which path will we take? What if that servant, instead of being wise, was foolish? And he's wicked. And so we have the description of this particular servant here in verses 48 and following. He's a wicked servant. That is, he's wicked at heart. The character of the servant is that his heart and his thoughts, he doesn't have the loving relationship with his master. He's wicked. So his heart is corrupt within him, which by nature is true for all of us. And he's a fool. Now, the word fool isn't used in this particular text, but a fool says in his heart, there is no God. A fool rejects the guidance of the master. A fool refuses to be alert, be watchful, be ready. And when the Bible uses the word fool, it has nothing to do with intelligence. It's not saying this man doesn't know a lot. It's not saying he's not intelligent and uses that intelligence. The character of a fool is, the word fool in the scripture has to do with the person's morality, has to do with a person's heart. It's the fool who won't follow God. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The fool refuses to fear God and will not trust him. And so this man doesn't trust the master. He doesn't believe what he said. The master said he would be back. This man doesn't believe what the master said. So he says there at the verse 48, the master says, my master is staying away a long time. So he's staying away a long time. He's not going to come back. So I can do anything I want. I can do whatever I want. Peter in 2 Peter 3 says the people in our world have the same kind of attitude. They say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. And so people in our world begin to become careless. They begin to become fools. They conduct themselves in carelessness. That's one of the characteristics of the conduct of this wicked servant. He's careless. He's not thinking about today or tomorrow. He's going to do whatever he feels like doing. And Peter goes on to say about these people who scorn the coming of the Lord, he says, they deliberately forget that God judged the world in ancient times by water and that he has promised to do so again by fire at the final day. They deliberately ignore and forget what God had done in the past and that what he promised to do in the future. And right after that, he follows up in saying, 1,000 days is like, 1,000 years is like a day to the Lord, and 1,000 years, a day is like 1,000 years. So what seems like a delay to you and to me, it's been 2,000 years roughly since Jesus was here. That seems like a long time. But for God, it's a couple days. And his promises are sure. His promises are true. And Peter will go on to say, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. So this wicked servant is careless. He's cruel. He goes on to say, and he then begins to beat his fellow servants. He is cruel to those around him because he's not concerned about what will happen. It parallels what Jesus said the Pharisees are going to do. To the servants that Jesus will send, they will pursue them, they will flog them, they will imprison them, they will kill them, they will crucify them. And then the third element of their activity is then they begin just, he begins to eat and drink with drunkards. William Hendrickson uses the word carousing for that. He's carousing. That's not exactly a word that kind of rolls off our tongues, carousing. But that's what he's doing. He's careless about his responsibility. He's cruel to those under his charge. And then he just lives however he pleases. Eats and drinks with drunkards. But then the problem is, the master of that servant will come on a day when he doesn't expect it and in an hour that he's not aware of it. The second return of Christ, the time of judgment, when the righteous will be ushered into everlasting glory and the wicked into everlasting judgment, is unknown to us. We don't know when it will be. So for this wicked servant, at a time when he didn't know, the master returned. And he experiences the consequences. The master returns and he will cut him to pieces, assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The unexpected return of the master brings on this wicked servant a horrible judgment. Cut into pieces, assigned a place with the hypocrites, weeping and gnashing of teeth. A very familiar description of hell. And so this servant is for us a severe warning, while the first servant is for us an encouragement, an example of what it means to be ready. This servant is for us a great warning. The master will come at a time when we don't know. Jesus will return at a time when we don't know. Maybe our lives will end before he returns. Maybe his return will be in our lifetime. Maybe it'll be a long time from now. We don't know. So we need to be alert. We need to be watchful. We need to be ready. So as we reflect on this passage and think about applying to it to our own lives and thinking through what it means for us, the one thing it does not mean, one way we would misuse this passage, is if we use it to defend in any way the pattern of works righteousness or justification by works, as though these servants, either one of them, earned the favor that has earned righteousness by their activity. It's the work of Jesus Christ and the relationship with God through him that brings us eternal life. But what these two servants are a picture of is they're not a picture of the way we kind of earn a place with God. What they're a picture of is the character of our heart. Where are our hearts? What's the devotion of our heart? Do we know the Master? Do we love Him? Do we trust Him? Is His words important to us? Do we believe that He is faithful to what He has said? The actions of these servants revealed the character and the content of their heart. And the actions and service that you and I give in our lives is a revelation and unveiling of the character and content of our heart. The one servant was faithful because he was at heart faithful. The other servant acted foolishly because at heart he was wicked. And had no trust in the Master, had no belief in him. So you and I have, on the one hand, we have to remember that the timing and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is unknown to us. And that your calling and my calling is to watch, be alert, and be ready. And the encouragement for you and for me, my encouragement to you, my encouragement to myself, is that you live in love with your Savior. That you live in with a heart full of faith in Him. And that you trust Him and His Word. And that you live expectantly for His return. And in that way, you, the faithful and wise servant, will be the blessed servant. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you so much for your word and how it reveals to us both warnings and encouragements. Warnings not to follow the path of unbelief and disobedience, and encouragements to see the blessedness of the one who trusts in you and who hopes in you and lives longing and expectantly for your return to us. May you, O Father, please work in us a heart of love to you and trust, and that exhibits itself in obedience, that we would bring honor and glory to you in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.